So, I want to show you a picture of somebody who is very near and dear to my heart. Hopefully we've got him here. Is he? There he is. That's my boy Monty. It's Mooner. He's my boy. That was when he was puppy and he was skinny. He's not skinny anymore. But that's my dog Monty. And we love Monty at our house. He's been around for about 5 years now. He's a handsome guy. And we're talking about pets today. We're talking about pets. And I know for those of you who don't have pets, it might seem strange that pet owners see their animals, you know, like their dogs and their cats or their chinchillas or their lizards or whatever. They see them more as just animals. They see them as parts of the family. Just talk to somebody whose pet has recently died and you'll hear about grief and loss, separation, just as if a human family member had gone. I mean, I meet people from time to time who don't like dogs or don't like my dog, and it shocks me. I mean, back in Saskatchewan, we had two dogs, and we had this lady who would come to our house every couple weeks, and she'd do a little bit of house cleaning for us just to kind of get us caught up because I'm not that good a house cleaner. So we would have her come, and she refused to get out of her car unless she knew our dogs were inside and in their kennel. She was so terrified of dogs. Our dogs never touched her. They never barked at her. Our dogs didn't bark. They were really good dogs, but she was terrified of our dogs, and I could never understand that. I don't understand people who don't like pets. I can't imagine someone not being excited to get home and watch their dog just shake their butt like that, like they haven't seen you for like 18 years or something. I mean, I can go outside, check the mail, and come back inside 30 seconds later, and it's like Monty's been on a deserted island for 10 years, never seen a soul forever. He's so excited to see you. I can't understand people that don't like that. Turn in your Bibles in the book of Genesis, chapter 4, starting to read at verse 4. There is a biblical history for dogs. Dogs are in the Bible. Dogs were considered unclean animals by the Jewish culture because they ate dead things. And they were also revered by the Egyptians, by the Egyptian culture. So that was a second strike against them for the Hebrew people. But dogs have been domesticated. They're used for hunting. They're used to clean up garbage. They're used for protection and for herding. And it's generally accepted that dogs are descended from wolves. While they may have become accustomed to having dogs as pets, we are. Their origins are not domestic. They were in the beginning wild animals. They would have hunted for their food, captured it, and killed it so they could eat. But over time, we've come to accept these animals as pets, as wild animals into our homes. We've raised them as part of our own families. We've trusted them with our most precious resource, like our children. We have made space for them in our lives, in our homes, and in our hearts. We love our pets. We care for them. We spend a great deal of money on making sure they're cared for. There are many different kinds of pets and many different kinds of pet owners. The smart pet owners are the ones who remember. They remember that their pets, no matter how domesticated they are, no matter how friendly and gentle they may appear, they are actually wild animals. Our pets do not live by reason. They don't live by logic or emotion. They don't consider what's right or wrong. They live purely by their instincts and their nature. Regardless of how well we think we train them, regardless of how well we think they're looked after, or how well behaved they may appear to be, they are wild animals. And when it comes to their nature, how they were made, and their instincts, what makes them act and react, those things are hardwired for them to be that way. I can teach Monty to do all kinds of tricks. He's not very bright. People ask me, what kind of dog is Monty? Well, he's part black and part stupid. That's kind of, he is. He is as smart as a bag of hammers. I love them. I love him, but he's not very bright. I mean, he does a few tricks, right? He'll sit and he'll say please and he'll beg, you know, and if you say bang, he'll attempt to roll over, but he's still too lazy to actually get all the way over. He kind of lays down and throws his head to the side and thinks that's it. But I mean, he does, you know, some pretty cool things. We used to have a dog who would go and get the mail for us. She'd go right into that mailbox and pull the mail out and bring it in the house. And they're great. But Monty is a meat-eating carnivore who knows how to hunt. He knows how to kill and eat its prey. And his prey would be anything smaller, slower, and weaker than him. That's who Monty is. Let me give you an example of what I mean when I say that these dogs are hardwired, our pets are hardwired. How many of you have ever seen a dog chase a ball or a stick? Right? You throw a ball, okay? And I remember when we had one of those chuck it things, you know, where you can throw the ball real far, and we figured out that Monty was lazy, that he would run to the ball but not bring it back. Anyway, I noticed that when I was throwing my ball for my dogs, that they would often run to the ball and then run right past the ball. And then turn around and come back. Same thing with a stick. Throw the stick, they would run over the stick and past the stick and come back to the stick. It's like, my dog's got no depth perception. He's just like, he needs glasses or something because he can't tell where it is the stick is. And then I learned something, that dogs are carnivores. They're hunters and they're used to chasing things to hunt and kill it. Things like rabbits. And rabbits are really quick and really fast. They can't run as long and as far as a dog can, but a rabbit is pretty quick and changes directions pretty quick. So dogs are hardwired to overrun their prey. So that when they're chasing a rabbit, they would run, hit the rabbit, boom, run over top of it, disorient the rabbit, and come back to the rabbit, and then break its neck and kill it. So dogs did that on purpose. My dogs weren't dumb. They were actually doing what they were hardwired to do. Our dogs are not clumsy. They're not uncoordinated. When my dog's not clumsy when he overruns the ball. The dog sees it as prey, and he's just dealing with it the way his instincts tell him to. So what's the point here, Pastor? Surely we're not here talking about pet care. No, of course we're not. There is a spiritual parallel at work here. Genesis 4, chapter 4 to 7. Verses 4 to 7. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. Why are you so angry? The Lord asked Cain. Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right, but if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master. God is speaking to Cain about his attitude. Cain is angry because his sacrifice was rejected by God and because his brother Abel's sacrifice was better than his. That's jealousy. He was purely jealous. It was a wrong heart attitude that Cain had. God says, hey, Cain, if you do the right thing, if you offer the proper sacrifice with the right heart attitude, you will be accepted. He says, do what you know is right, God says. This wasn't a mystery to Cain. God wasn't hiding what he wanted Cain to do. Cain knew exactly what was right and wrong, but he chose to disobey God, and he gave an unacceptable sacrifice. God says, if you do what you know is right, there will be no reason to be rejected. There will be no reason to be angry. But if you choose to be disobedient, if you make the choice to do the wrong thing, if you choose your own way over God's way, sin is crouching at your door. If there was ever a picture of a wild animal prepared to hunt, that is it. Something crouching, waiting to pounce. God warns Cain, what you're about to do is dangerous. There's something waiting on the other side of that door that if you walk through it with that attitude, it is going to jump on you and control you. If you choose to continue to go where you're headed, a wild animal is waiting on the other side for you, crouching. Now, when I heard this, I thought of Animal Planet. I thought of Animal Planet, and I thought of Dave Kerner. Because Dave says, show more of them hunting videos. I like those. I'm going to show you a hunting video. If you have a weak stomach, if you don't like the idea of somebody killing something to eat, if you believe your meat comes from some place somewhere where nothing ever dies, don't watch this, okay? Don't watch this. But this is about a cheetah and a gazelle. Cheetah and a gazelle. Now, I was thinking about the Animal Planet the other day when I was going through this message, and You know, you can watch what happens in nature from the safety of your couch, and this is pretty cool. And I thought about those unsuspecting gazelles who get caught and eaten by the cheetah. And I wonder, how stupid do those gazelles have to be? Like, they're dumber than my dog. They are stupid. To let a cheetah sneak up on them on the wide open plains, how dumb do they have to be? The gazelles are always the same. La-ti-da, nothing to see here. They're just munching away on some grass. Choo-choo-choo-choo-choo. Look. Choo-choo-choo-choo-choo. Look. And then the cheetah's right there in the grass. Right there. And even when the gazelles realize the cheetah's there, they're like, he must be after the other gazelles, not me. Anyway, this is what I think about when I think about something crouching at the door. Take a look at this cheetah.
We have very little time left with the cats now. Every minute we spend with them is precious, but when Honey goes into action to get her family a meal, it's priceless. This is the hunter at her supreme best. To catch an adult Thompson's gazelle, she must close the gap as much as possible. Honey may be fast, but every meter she gains in a carefully executed stalk is a step towards success. It's this that her cubs still have to learn, precision stalking. She must watch every move of her prey. She has to respond instantly to the slightest hint that the gazelle might lift its head. And when she's close enough, she explodes into action.
Unbelievable, the cubs are actually going to deal with an adult. For the first time ever in their lives, the three cubs have just brought down an adult female gazelle.
Sin is crouching at your door. In our lives, in our relationship with God, we need to see and understand that we have things in our lives, attitudes and behaviors that we see as pets. We look at them as being cute, cuddly puppies when in fact they are like an attack dog or a cheetah. They are wild animals that can't be tamed. They are always on the hunt. They are always crouching at our door and ready to strike. We make a serious mistake when we entertain sin in our lives, in our homes, and in our families. When we see disobedience to God as something we can live with and not get hurt by. We are deceiving ourselves. Just the same as if we invited a lion or a tiger or a cheetah into our homes to play with our children. Listen to the word of the Lord today. The sin that you are keeping as a pet in your life is a wild animal. It only knows how to hunt, to kill, and to destroy. It doesn't matter how long you've lived with it, how well you think you have it under control, or how well you keep it hidden. The nature of sin, the nature of disobedience, is to wait for you to step through that door and for it to pounce on you, for it to put its teeth into your neck and devour you. Whoa, 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 Pastor, relax here. You're getting a little serious this morning, a little intense. I don't have anything like that in my life. I don't have any real big issues. I'm not cheating on my spouse. I'm not stealing from my employer. I tithe even like you said we should. I don't have any cheetahs in my life. Well, that's exactly what the gazelle thinks. Thinks they're all alone. There's nobody there to bother them. The gazelle who thought the cheetah must be after the other guy and not him. You and I are in the most danger. We are in the most vulnerable place when we think, I'm safe. There's nothing wrong here. This could never happen to me. But because of the choices we make, the places we go, the things we look at, the attitudes and thoughts that we entertain and allow to grow in our minds, we open the door and soon come face to face with the crouching wild animal. So what do? First, we need to admit that we've invited these wild animals in. We've allowed them into our lives. Too many people are like the gazelle who pretend everything is fine. Nothing to see here. They keep their heads down, believing that if they can't see the wild animal, then the wild animal can't see them. We're born with a sinful nature. But as we grow and learn who God is and how he wants relationship with you and I, we learn what he says is right and wrong. At that point, we have a choice to continue being disobedient and living in that sinful nature, or honoring God and being obedient and turning away from that sinful nature. And that, folks, is called repentance. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sin, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. Repentance is a change of mind. It says, I was wrong. That provides a change of heart, which means I need to stop, which leads to a changed life. You see the progress there? We need to be aware that sin, disobedience to God, is something that all of us struggle with. This is not something I'm telling you that you struggle with. I struggle with it. We all struggle with it. This is an issue we all have. We need to understand that disobeying God separates us from God. It fractures our relationship. But grace beats sin, Pastor. You said that this morning. Grace beats sin. So why do we have to concern ourselves with sin? It's a fair question. And I believe God thinks it's a fair question as well, because the same question is asked in his word. Romans chapter 8, verses 15 to 16. What should we say then? Should we sin because we are not ruled by the law but by God's grace? Not at all. Don't you know that when you give yourselves to obey someone, you become that person's slave? You can be slaves of sin. Then you will die. Or you can be slaves who obey God. Then you will live a godly life. The Apostle Paul asks, now that we no longer are bound by the rule of law, does that free us up to do whatever we like? If I can ask for forgiveness at any time, if I don't have to have a priest any longer, if I can step directly before God and ask for his forgiveness because what Jesus has done, do I need to even care any longer about sin? Well, Paul says it's okay to ask that question. It's okay to ask how much forgiveness is available. But what really we need to consider is this. You are either going to choose to obey God and go towards life, or you're going to be choosing to be disobedient and make your way to death. One of our choices leads to life, while the other choice leads to eternal death. I have some points for you that I want you to consider today. One, whether you want to serve God or serve your pet sin. Yep, I called your sin a pet. I think we all need to realize that to some extent... we all have invited these things into our lives, what we thought were domesticated, tame creatures into our lives, when they're actually wild animals. When we have attitudes and behaviors in our lives that we know are wrong, but we believe that we have them under control, we can handle it. Or we have it locked in a cage and we only let it out from time to time to play with. We have it locked in a glass case and think that that's secure. When we think that playing around with disobedience to God is okay because we put a cute fuzzy mask on it, we have a problem with our pets. Here are some points for you to take note of if you're considering whether having a pet sin is a good idea or not. Number one, they are not tame. An animal that has been domesticated is still an animal. They are wild by nature. One of the things I've heard that is that every time there is a movie that comes out that features a particular type of animal, right after that movie, sales of that particular animal will skyrocket. After Finding Nemo, clownfish, boom. Dory, tangs, blue tangs, boom. Sales went crazy. But the one thing they say is a real concern is 101 Dalmatians. When 101 Dalmatians is re-released by Disney, sales of Dalmatian puppies go through the roof. And here's the problem, though. If you talk to somebody who knows dogs, who knows pets, okay, Dalmatians are apparently not good pets to have with children. But you see them on the movie just scanning, dancing around with the kids and playing with the kids. And like, oh, I want a Dalmatian puppy for my kid. And Dalmatians don't really like kids. You see the problem? We put the wrong pet in the wrong place. Or how about this cute little guy? Look at him. Oh, he's so cute. Who wouldn't want a little baby raccoon for a pet, eh? They're so cute. Right? Wrong. Raccoons are so cute and lovable that it's very tempting to keep them for pets. And you may hear that they make good pets, but they do not. When they get older, they become agitated easily and get very moody. Sounds like a teenage girl. I had four teenage girls, so don't you groan. I know what it's all about. As they grow, they become increasingly inquisitive and mischievous. If they are not provided constant stimulation and enrichment, they destroy everything they get their paws on. Everything. And they are not meant to be contained. These animals were made to get in and out of tight spaces. That's what they do. Raccoons can weigh up to 30 pounds. They have very sharp claws and teeth. And as they mature, they become much more aggressive. Here's the point. When we invite or entertain our pet sin, we initially may see it as not hurting anyone. It's cute. It's no big deal. Maybe we see someone else partaking in it, and they don't seem to be hurt too badly. Just like watching 101 Dalmatians and seeing the puppies play with the kids. But we don't see the real thing. According to the liquor and beer industry, there is no problem with alcohol. It doesn't cause any issues in people's lives or in the relationships. You are given the Disney version in a Budweiser commercial. If you're around anyone who drinks to excess, if you've lived with an alcoholic, you see broken relationships, lack of trust, and all kinds of other social issues. There is no safe way to handle a tiger. You can train it to do some tricks, but you cannot change the nature of the tiger. It will always be a meat-eating wild animal that looks at you like its next meal. And you can't invite sin into your life and not get bitten. It's wild. Its nature is to tear down and destroy you. Secondly, pets, they eat constantly and demand feeding. We invest a significant amount of money in our dog's food. We don't buy the cheapest dog food we can buy because we want Monty to be healthy. We've had pets with lots of allergy issues and had to spend a significant amount of money on their food. We buy them a better quality of food than average. We used to have two dogs back in Saskatchewan. We had two dogs. We had Monty and we had Winnie. Winnie was the new puppy, and she was a hoot. She was really, really funny. She was very demonstrative. But Winnie was very, very, very insistent when it came to feeding time. If you forgot it was time to feed Winnie, she helped you remember. We had a really nice family room downstairs. There was like 12 steps going down to our family room. The dog's food, dishes, were kept at the top of the stairs to the landing. And if you forgot to feed Winnie, okay, if it was mealtime and she hadn't been fed or you tried to delay her feeding, she would go to the top of the stairs, find the dish, which was metal. That's a nice, loud metal dish. And she would kick it down the stairs. Dong, ding, dong, ding, 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 dong, dong, ding, 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 dong, all the way down the stairs. And you knew it was time to feed Winnie. It was food time. She was not going to wait to be fed. She demanded to be fed. Our pets demand to be fed. They're constantly demanding you feed them, to give them something. And if you ignore them and try to starve them, they just get more insistent. The only way for you to not feed a dog is to get rid of the dog. If we tried to keep them and not feed them, they would certainly go to great lengths to eat. They would be in the cupboards. They would be in the fridge. They would be in the neighbor's cupboards. They'd be in the neighbor's fridge. They would eat. They will eat. When we have pet sin, it demands to be fed. If you have a habit that you know God doesn't approve of, no matter what the issue is, you know it demands to be fed. It asks for your attention. If you try and ignore it, the requests and demands become louder, more insistent, and sometimes the demands can be painful, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Talk to a recovered addict about the dependency, the constant draw towards feeding that habit. How under a huge load of bondage their lives were and how constant and demanding the addiction was to be fed. Yeah, but Pastor, I'm not addicted to my sin. I like it. It's good. I just pull it out every once in a while. It makes me feel good, so I do it. I'm not addicted. Oh, really? Stop. Just don't do it. And tell me if there isn't a draw, if it's not calling you, if it's not, you're not thinking about it and going back to it. It needs to be fed. Sin demands more and more from you. It's constantly asking you for more of your time, more of your attention, more of your resources. It's never happy with just a little bit. Next, they leave a mess behind for you to clean up. After my dogs are fed, you know what comes next. They leave treasure. What goes in eventually comes out, and guess who gets the honor and privilege of cleaning up after it? As sure as the sun rises and sets, our pet Monty is going to leave something in our yard for later. The byproduct of them eating and consuming food is waste. They leave behind lots of it. Now, in the winter, we have the tendency of ignoring it because the snow comes and covers it up. And we can just forget about it for a little while. Back in Ontario, we had a hot tub that was right outside in our yard, just off the deck. And we'd have lots of students come. Our girls were young teenagers, and they had lots of friends over in the hot tub. And their friends thought it was really cool that they could go in the hot tub in the winter and then get out and roll around in the yard. And Dave's going like, oh, no. They would roll around in the yard and would say, no. You are not getting back in the hot tub. Well, why not? Well, do you know what's under the snow at our house? We forget what's there. When we allow sin to take up a regular place in our lives and we feed it, it leaves a mess behind. It separates us from God. It can damage our marriages, our ability to be trusted. Some sin can bring sickness or injury. And even those sins that we think don't harm anyone, they still leave a mess. If you view pornography on a regular basis, it changes you. It's a proven fact that over time you need increasingly explicit images to stimulate you. And over time, pornography will erode your ability to have normal sexual relationships with your spouse. Sin leaves a mess. You can cover it up for a while like the snow does, but eventually you're going to step in a mess. Next, our pets compete for our affection but cannot return it. Now, I'm sure I'm going to get some pushback from you pet lovers, and I'm a pet lover too, when I say I love Monty, but Monty doesn't love me back. You know? Like, my girls would argue this till the cows come home. Oh, he looks so sad. Oh, he's such a sad boy. No, he's not. He doesn't get sad. He's not an emotional being. He's not an emotional person. Animals have basic emotions like fear. Yes. But complicated, complex human emotions like jealousy or sympathy, that's simply not real. The emotions like love and concern you feel for your pet cannot be returned by your pet. They don't love you back. Yes, my dog is glad I'm home. That's just an indication that he'd rather be with you than alone. That's not love. It's called anthropomorphism. Humans projecting their own traits onto animals. We can become so good at this that we begin to believe that our pets do love us. That they do care how we feel. That when they chew our slipper, it's because they're upset with us. But our pets can't do that, and neither can our pet sin. Whatever it is that you're doing that keeps you from the kind of relationship with God that he wants you to have, whatever it is, no matter how much you care about it, no matter how much you hunger for it, no matter how much you go back to it time after time, it will never offer you anything in return. It cannot do it. So what's the answer then? What do we do? How do we react? What do you do if you have a pet you don't want anymore? Well, first, don't give in to that cute puppy trap. Before you decide to get involved in something questionable, do a little bit of research first. We told our kids this all the time. They couldn't wait to get out on their own and have their own pets. I don't know how many pets they've gotten rid of now since they've moved out. They realize that they're a lot of work. Do some research, we told them, because something that looks cute or seems like it might be okay, check it out first. What does God think about it? What does God think about this? What does it look like when it's full grown? What does your pet sin look like when it's in full rage? And remember, if it's disobedience to God, it will make a mess and you're going to step in it at some point. Next, if you've got something, if you've got a pet and you want to get rid of it, stop feeding it and it will stop growing and hanging around. I love my dog. I love Monty. But if I stop feeding Monty, Monty would leave. He will leave. He will go somewhere else to find food because that's what he lives for. He lives to eat. He would eventually wander away and find food somewhere else. Your pet is much less likely to stay with you if you no longer feed it. Now, we would never stop feeding Monty. But the same holds true for your pet sin. Stop feeding the disobedience. Stop partaking in it. And you will soon find it shrinking in its influence. And eventually it will stop hanging around your place on a regular basis. Third, be a stinky toad to temptation. I haven't seen many around BC yet. But in Ontario, they were everywhere. These toads, big, dumb, slimy things that, didn't move very fast. And I always wondered, why don't my dogs attack toads? Why don't they just take a bite out of a toad? I mean, it's good, fresh meat. It's right there. Blood pumping and everything. Well, they're toxic. They secrete some sort of toxic substance that your dogs find distasteful. And some of it's dangerous to them. And some of us make it too easy for that sin crouching at our door to pounce. We go to places that we are openly tempted. We watch things or listen to things that we wear down our resistance. We do all kinds of things that don't help ourselves. Look, if you have a hard time staying sober, don't go to the bar. Really. Right? I mean, if internet porn is a thing for you, get your computer out of your bedroom, stick it in your kitchen or your living room where everybody can see it. It's time we stopped offering ourselves up to temptation like we are helpless. I think one of the worst excuses I have ever given or heard from someone is, I don't know how it happened. I just fell into temptation. No, you did not. You walked right into it. You walked right up to it and said, hello. When you subscribed to that TV channel, when you invited that boy over to your house when your parents were away, that wasn't an accident. Stop blaming the devil for your bad choices. Fourth, love something else more. Love something else more. John 14, if you love me, keep my commands. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Being obedient is a love issue. It's a heart issue. I know that some people think their pets are the most important things in the world to them. My best friend back in Ontario, him and his wife had two little dogs. They were great dogs. We liked them. Coffee and Colby. And within the span of a year, both of their little puppies passed away. And they were devastated. Their hearts were broken that Coffee and Colby were gone. And our friends had been trying to adopt a child because they couldn't have their own kids. They've been trying for years and years and years and years and years. And as they were going through the adoption process, they found a new dog. And they got Rusty, and Rusty became a part of their family. And they really loved Rusty. But then they were finally able to adopt a child. Now, they still love Rusty. Rusty's a good dog. He's really cute. But boy, they love their child way more. They love their child way, way more. How do we get out of the trap of being caught in these temptations and these sins from time to time? How do we get out of that trap? If you're having a hard time with sin issues, you need to find something else you love more. And God, the one who sacrificed his son so you could have life, is an awesome choice for that love. Love him more. What will keep you from inviting a new pet sin into your life? What will keep you from going back to that old pet? What will help you get rid of an unwanted pet is a closer love relationship with God. Getting to know what pleases him. Doing what pleases him. Getting closer to him. Walking closer with him. Let's stand together this morning. Let's spend just a few minutes in worship. I don't know what it is that you're going through. Maybe you've been struggling with the same pet sin for years and years and years and years. You've given way too much of your time and attention to it. You're spending too much time feeding and cleaning up after it. It's creating a mess. Maybe some of you have convinced yourself that it's no big deal. It's no big issue. It's a small thing. It's a small thing. But you know it's going to grow. You know it's a wild animal. It hasn't bit you yet. It hasn't bit you yet, but it will. Maybe you just want to tell God you love him this morning. Whatever it is, whatever's going on in your heart this morning, let's just take this few minutes. And let's just allow God to speak into our lives. Let's let him deal with our pets this morning.